It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, everyone. Just a couple of minutes ago, President-elect Donald Trump sent out an email announcing his pick for Secretary of State. Mr. Trump's choice, ExxonMobil Chairman and CEO Rex Tillerson, despite concerns over his close ties to Russia and a lack of diplomatic experience. NBC's national correspondent Peter Alexander joins us now from the White House. Peter, there had been a not-so-short shortlist. How did Rex Tillerson rise to the top?
Well, this was the biggest prize in Donald Trump's cabinet, and that statement put out just moments ago from Trump transition officials describes Rex Tillerson as among the most influential and accomplished business leaders in the world and deal makers. And obviously for the man who wrote The Art of the Deal, Donald Trump, that was one of the most impressive things about Tillerson. While he has no government or diplomatic experience, he does have years of experience building relationships with world leaders, a point that Donald Trump has noted on multiple occasions. That includes the leaders of countries like Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and Qatar, but also notably with Vladimir Putin in Russia. And that's why some members of Congress believe this could be a contentious confirmation battle going forward, with some Republicans, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and even Marco Rubio among those expressing concern. Marco Rubio saying, anyone that's a friend of Vladimir is not what I'm looking for in a Secretary of State. However, there have been some influential Republicans voicing their support for Rex Tillerson in recent days to Donald Trump. They include former cabinet members like Bob Gates, the former defense secretary, Condoleezza Rice, the former secretary of state, as well as the other individual, James Baker, a man that has met privately with Donald Trump as well. Another one of those finalists for secretary of state, of course, Matt, was the 2012 Republican nominee, Mitt Romney. My sources familiar with a conversation last night tell me that Trump and Romney spoke, that Romney was very appreciative for the opportunity to be considered, that they had a good conversation, Romney putting out a statement afterward calling it an honor to be on that list.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. If you just got up this morning, that is the big news. Rex Tillerson, Exxon CEO, has been chosen to be Secretary of State. You know, Ambassador John Bolton was supposed to be our guest this morning, and he couldn't join us. My understanding is, not from him, but from other things I've been reading, is that he is going to be the Deputy Secretary of State, so that according to what I've read, and again, this has to be confirmed, Ambassador Bolton will run the day-to-day operations in the Department of State, and Rex Tillerson will be, you know, the boss making all the decisions. That's pretty amazing. Honestly, if that is the pairing, that will be amazing, because John Bolton, of course, knows his way around State Department, and he's not a friend to the employees of the State Department. I mean, they are, maybe Justice Department has, or the EPA, it's hard to choose. Under Obama, they're all radical leftists, but the State Department has notoriously really for decades been the warehouse for leftist thought. There's just no question about it, going back to early presidents. And so this is going to be interesting. Now, I don't know, you know, exactly how I feel about Rex Tillerson. I don't know enough about him. I like you, am reading for the first time. I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard a few people that I trust say good things about him. And then I've heard some concerns from other people that that I share. So the story on Tillerson, as far as I can tell, in terms of his connection with Russia, it goes back to when the Soviet Union broke up. And that was in the late 90s. That's when I was there. It was 91, I guess it was. That's the early 90s. And so, you know, the Soviet Union, when it broke up and Russia became separate from all the other countries that they had been controlling, there was a lot of move to doing business there. That just makes sense, I suppose, for good business persons. It was open for the first time. And so Rex Tillerson took advantage of that. And as CEO of ExxonMobil, they found new oil fields, and it was good for Russia. It was good for ExxonMobil, which grew to be, I guess, the size of a country in terms of its own wealth base, its own economy. Exxon is huge. And Tillerson has been at the helm for, I think, you know, many, many years. He's 64 years old. He's been there since he graduated from college. He's in he's from Texas. So he's been very close to the Russian economy. I don't know any smart businessman. Now, I'm just thinking out loud. This is not me speaking out of expertise. I'm just telling you what bits I do know. You know, any smart businessman who had international interests would have done business in Russia when the Soviet Union broke up. That just would make sense because it was an open economy. It was now going to become a capitalistic society. The problem was, as I've said before, capitalists don't seem to figure out, at least people who study this, that capitalism removed from values, core values, religious values, morality, personal responsibility, is a disaster. There's no question about that. The American capitalist system was based on a foundation of faith and religion, personal responsibility. And so when you unleash greed without any kind of restraint, it's a disaster. And that's what happened actually in Russia. And the oligarchs, meaning the guys that figured out how to gain all the wealth, became huge. The mafia grew. And so the story of Russia is it's just a sad story, I have to say. But I don't think you can fault someone who went into Russia after the Soviet Union fell apart and did business. So I can't fault him on that. He does supposedly have a very good relationship with Vladimir Putin, and that may be of concern. It certainly has to be watched. But you have to remember that Donald Trump has appointed some generals, some very strong generals, who are not going to be, they're not going to be playing footsie with Vladimir Putin. They know what he's done, what a bully he's been around the world, how he's tried to take various countries. They're not dumb about that, and they're not going to be shy violets. And so Tillerson, we'll see, as Secretary of State, perhaps he would have a soft spot for Russia, but that does not mean what they're trying to infer, I don't think. My big concern about him comes from other things. And this out of Fortune magazine, so here it is. Rex Tillerson, who is the nominee now, is a strong, strong advocate of Common Core. And he has done everything he can in terms of his own sphere of influence, in terms of bringing in other CEOs. He's threatened to cut off campaign contributions to politicians, even some who support the oil and gas industry, who spurned Common Core. He is a Common Core fan. And so that is a concern. I don't know what that means as Secretary of State. Honestly, I can't tell you. I'll ask someone, and then I'll tell you with some certainty. But I don't know that being Secretary of State is going to have any bearing on his favorability to Common Core. I would also say that I think businessmen, big businessmen, notoriously don't know policy. Everyone criticizes Donald Trump for not understanding all the details of public policy. They understand business, and they work morning to night. Those men that are weight overachievers, CEOs of these major companies, they're not sitting around looking, they're not policy wonks. They have people who watch that stuff. They have impressions. They have views. And I think on the issue of Common Core, many of them have not really understood. They think that it's like many others, like many teachers, that Common Core, we need high standards. Well, don't we need high standards? But Common Core essentially does not provide those high standards. That's the problem. And I don't think that many CEOs who have embraced it, governors who've embraced it, really understood that and had the time in their busy, overwhelming lives to stop and think about it. Donald Trump is the exception. He campaigned against Common Core. The problem is he's got Mike Pence as his VP, and Mike Pence is not so good on this. As we have said before, he adopted Common Core standards by a different name in his state, which is a very disappointing thing, very disappointing, capital V. So he's going to have a conflict. I always thought that, with President Bush, You know, Laura Bush was not nearly so conservative as we thought George W. Bush was on the issue of life, on the issue of marriage. In fact, we know more about her positions on those things. And when I was president of CWA, it was apparent to me that Laura Bush was a beautiful, gracious lady, loved her appearance, loved her manner, but she was no conservative, and she was the partner to the president. So there's always that balance to be made. Those of us that are married know this. All right, so that is the big news of this morning. Rex Tillerson picked to be Secretary of State, and I believe John Bolton, the deputy, but we'll hear more about that later on. On the practical note, the recount in Wisconsin has just given Donald Trump 131 votes. The recount is over, and he's gained 131 votes. It ended yesterday. Nevertheless, the left is, you know, apoplectic, and so they're starting this new venue. A letter went out asking the electors who vote next Monday, the members of the Electoral College, to get an intelligence briefing on foreign intervention at the presidential election. The repetition is, of course, that Russia. The inference is that Russia caused the election to go the way it is. Russia tampered with our election, and Russia, you know, hacked the election system. This is the inference. And it was because of Russia that Donald Trump won this election. So the electors need to get this briefing so that they can, because they have to stop this, you see. And so now John Podesta, who's the head of the Center for American Progress, remember that John was Hillary Clinton's campaign advisor. John Podesta is probably, he is probably the most important person in the nation when it comes to leftist public policy. As the president of the Center for American Progress, they're the ones that have been, they're the think tank that's been writing all, you know, thinking ahead, like decades, on how to lay out and how to achieve ground and how to move the country to the left, and they've succeeded at so much. So John's, and remember it's John Podesta's email that were hacked by someone that revealed so much horrendous information. I remember that email about how he courted the press, had many reporters, news writers, leaders of media companies in his own home, cooking them dinner, personally strategizing about how to help Hillary. That part, you know, of course, is left out of this. But the Russians, they got Donald Trump elected. The media here, we know for a fact, were courted by John Podesta and the left and shamelessly plugged and shilled for Hillary Clinton. That's not part of the story. But it is of concern. It's not a small thing that they should try to delegitimize this election. I have to say, I never thought it would come to this. I thought they had their stuff together better than this, to be honest. I guess I thought more highly of John Podesta and the left and the Hillary Clinton campaign than they actually warrant. I thought for sure they had a plan, that they had, it seems to me, it's amazing to me, that they were caught so off guard by the results of this election that they just seem to be floundering. But this is a serious flounder when they send a letter. And by the way, it's an open letter they sent to from 10 presidential electors, and one of those is Nancy Pelosi's daughter. Well, I'm sure she has no, you know, opinion on this, but she sent an open letter requesting an intelligence briefing, she and the other nine, an intelligence briefing ahead of the December 19th vote of the Electoral College. They're trying desperately to stop Donald Trump from having the number of electoral votes that he actually got in the election. And as I just said, now we know that as a result of that vote in Wisconsin, he increased his lead by 131 votes. I think that's kind of funny, actually. I have lots of things to tell you today. Some event happened in Chicago I'm going to talk about that's kind of personal to me. I also want to talk about the naughty and nice list of the American Family Association and just our interest in companies and what they sell and what they support and what they don't support. So we'll talk about that. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Merry Christmas from 8 Days of Hope. We want to thank you, the American Family Radio listener, for supporting 8 Days of Hope as we served disaster victims in 2016. Volunteers from across the country that heard about 8 Days of Hope on AFR came to Texas and Louisiana and South Carolina and West Virginia to help out flood victims. You came to Mississippi to help out flood victims and tornado victims. And then in October, we happened to be in South Carolina where Hurricane Matthew hit. And we had thousands of people there that were willing to help and serve and love others who needed our assistance. Thank you for your volunteering. Thank you for your financial support. But most of all, thank you for your prayers for 8 Days of Hope. Please continue to pray for 8 Days of Hope as we move to 2017. We hope that you and your family have a Merry Christmas and a joyous new year.
That's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope, a ministry partner of the American Family Association. You can learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Hi, this is Ron Ball, and this is your Choose Greatness Minute. I was speaking at a conference in Atlanta when I first met Rosa. Rosa was a single mom who had driven from Sacramento, California, all alone to attend our business training event. She was a godly young woman who trusted Christ and wanted the best for her daughter. She had no money, so she borrowed her mother's car, sold her only possession, a television set, to get the money to pay for gas and food. When I asked Rosa why she had come, she said, "I have come for my daughter. I am responsible for her." Her husband had abandoned the family. But Rosa refused to be a victim and chose to take responsibility. That is an element, a characteristic of greatness that is needed today. Don't be a victim. Take responsibility for your success and for those in your care. That is foundational to greatness. To learn more, go to choosegreatness.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. From Danville, Pennsylvania, comes word of a high school football coach in hot water. Seems the coach was caught taking a knee with his team, not out of protest, but for prayer. Someone posted video of the coach on social media, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation took action. That's the bunch of militant atheist agnostics and freethinkers from Wisconsin. They make their living by stalking small towns and communities in search of any public displays of the Christian faith. The school district says coaches are no longer allowed to pray with their players, ending a long-standing tradition. It's a shame they did not fight the atheist bullies. There are a number of religious liberty law firms that would gladly take up their cause. And it's a sad commentary on our nation, where coaches who take a knee to protest America are celebrated, and those who take a knee to pray are denigrated. I'm Todd Stearns.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Back with you. It is Christmas time, and there's a lot to think about. And I had something yesterday, last night, late actually, that a news story that someone from Chicago sent to me that really moved me. And I just feel like I want to talk about it for a second. It's funny because Todd's little commentary just then reminded me so much. You know, Rob Sherman was an atheist out of Chicago who just was fighting everything all the time. He sued the Boy Scouts over, prayer. He tried to get prayer out of the schools. He was always fighting. And so I was always talking to Rob on the air. We had regular conversations about what he thought and how he felt. And we actually developed a good friendship. He used to call me his favorite Christian. And so we went back and back. We were back and forth. We had, you know, we were enemies on the issues, no question about it, because Rob was indomitable. He had two kids. He loved his kids very much, a girl and a boy, and we talked a lot about that. Rob was in the news a lot. He liked attention, and he also just was driven by his atheistic views. He had a radio show for atheists and actually asked me to come on his show. So I remember driving out to the studio, and Rob knew that I sang, so he asked me to bring some music to play, which surprised me because it's a talk show. I said, because when I was on the air in Chicago, I wasn't exactly playing my music. I was a talk show host talking about news and politics, and some people knew I sang, but certainly that was not the centerpiece of the show. But I brought an album that I had recorded, not too long before that. So Rob was late. He was always disorganized. And he ran into the studio and sat down just as the show was starting. So he and I didn't have a chance to talk at all. And as I recall, this was the commemoration of Roe versus Wade. Rob, of all the amazing things, Rob was pro-life. Strange, he was pro-life, and we talked about that. So he wanted me to come and talk about that on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. So again, I come in, I'm sitting there, I've been there for a bit, and he comes in late, breathless. The music starts, and as the intro to the show is playing, he said, "Choose something so we can play it. Just pick a song." I said, I remember saying, you want something up or something down? He said, "Oh, something up." And so I said, "Okay, cut whatever it was." And so we played it. And ironically, for no other reason than the intervention of God himself, the song that was up on the album was called "Where Can I Go?" based on Psalm 139, which of course was very interesting because as I sang the song and we listened to it, I said, "Rob, you know, on the air, it's interesting that you should ask me for that and that this should be the song because this is based on a psalm that talks about how God knew us, you know, in our mother's womb. He knit us together." It's a beautiful story and a beautiful revelation of who God is and of his omnipotence and his omniscience. It's just amazing. Of course, Rob doesn't believe in God, so we're having this conversation. And then, so we talked a bit about that, and then he opened the phone lines. And a lot of the people that listened to Rob, of course, were atheists. And so I had a few calls, and they were all, you know, hostile. And then I had one call that was particularly hostile. And I remember the atheist said to whatever his name was, "You say that your God is pro-life. Your God, look at all the scriptures about how he kills people and slaughters people. Your God's not pro-life." It's basically what he said. And I said, "Well, you know, that it's really interesting that you should point that out." I said, "And as a matter of fact, did you know that the Bible says there is no God?" "What? It says there is?" And Rob sat up straight. The Bible says there is no God?" I said, "Yes. It says the fool hath said there is no God." And I only mentioned that to you because that was an interview I'll never forget because I knew that God was sort of orchestrating every jot and tittle of it. And I loved Rob, honestly. I just had a real affinity for him, and my heart always went out to him, and I always tried to share the gospel with him. So it was with the background of that, I got the news that he was killed this past weekend. I'm going to cry. He was killed piloting his own plane. He was on his way to meet his wife, and for a banquet, probably Christmas, it sounds like, of all things. And his plane was found in the field. I don't think they even found it right away. It was a single engine. He was by himself. And so it just makes me sad because, you know, the atheists in Wisconsin that Todd just talked about, I know them too. I've debated them many times, talked to them. And I have to say to you that our job as followers of Christ is to see people as people. And sometimes I don't do that either. Sometimes I see them as categories, people that I oppose. But we have to remove our strong convictions on the issues for which we fight fiercely and give no quarter. We don't do that. Separate it from the people who sometimes are just lost or really tools of the enemy himself, the Satan, the father of lies. And so I think of Rob this morning and I think the loss of his life and how sorry I am for his kids and how deeply sorry I am that he never, as far as I knew, ever gave up his fight that there was no God. And now he knows, of course, that there is a God. So me, his favorite Christian, is brokenhearted this morning that Rob's life should be taken. All right, well, let's change the subject for a second. And actually, just for give me a break here a minute, let's talk about this whole thing about Russia being involved in the election and skewing it, because that's what everybody's talking about. And I want you to hear what Rich Edson had to say about the intelligence gathering on this and how confusing it is. Let's listen.
What the White House is saying is that it's President-elect Donald Trump on one side and the assessment of the 17 intelligence agencies on the other side. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest says the assessment of the intelligence agencies that Russia hacked the Democratic National Committee, hacked Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta's emails, released that information to the public, and then that information dominated campaign talk, as the White House says, for the last couple of weeks of the campaign, is clear evidence that not only Russia interfered, but did so to help Donald Trump.
You didn't need a security clearance to figure out who benefited from malicious Russian cyber activity. The president-elect didn't call it into question. He called on Russia to hack his opponent. He called on Russia to hack Secretary Clinton.
Now, the White House says there was no indication of increased Russian cyber activity when it came to Election Day and the actual counting of votes. The White House also says that President Obama believes in a proportional response to this, but refuses to get into the details of what exactly they're considering, Melissa.
Oh, I am here. Here's the thing. The Washington Post and the New York Times really kicked this thing off. And when you get down into the weeds, you can see that what they're saying is not really true. They are taking it a step further. They are doing what they did in the election. They are misleading. Talk about fake news. The CIA, according to what I'm reading, is the one who thinks Russia was involved. But every word is thinks, assumes, concludes. The FBI has a very different take on it. They don't believe there's any conclusive evidence that Russia was involved. I also remember the WikiLeaks, which is a little different, but the WikiLeaks, Julian Assange said in no uncertain terms that Russia was not involved in hacking all the email that he gave a steady stream of, you know, whether it was the Podesta email and all of that. And so there are conflicting reports. I know that leaders in Congress, including Senator John McCain, Lindsey Graham and others, are going to make sure that there are hearings to determine that, which are, who would have a problem with that? I mean, that's a great idea. Our intelligence agencies should have the same opinion on something, and it is very confusing when they don't. But I want to read you this article in the Washington Post that came out yesterday. It says, the CIA assessment that Russia waged a cyber campaign to help elect Donald Trump is based in part on intelligence suggesting that Moscow's hacking efforts were disproportionately aimed at targets tied to the Democratic Party and its nominee, Hillary Clinton. Intelligence suggesting that Moscow's hacking efforts were disproportionately aimed. Then it goes on to say U.S. officials said that both parties were repeatedly targeted as part of a months-long cyber operation linked to Moscow. But Democratic institutions and operatives came under a more sustained and determined online assault. U.S. officials said that Republican National Committee's computer systems were also probed and possibly penetrated by hackers tied to Russian intelligence services. But it remains unclear how much material, if any, was taken from the RNC. Well, I mentioned that because I actually wanted to play this for you. But if you saw, Reince Priebus was on with Chuck Todd on NBC on Sunday. And Reince took Chuck Todd to task. He actually did a great job. If you haven't seen that, we should post that, Adam, on our Facebook page so people can watch it. Because Reince actually did a great job just laying Chuck Todd out. Chuck wanted it to be true that the RNC had been hacked, that the Russians tried to interfere with our elections, but that they chose, then this is the narrative, according to Chuck Todd. They chose to really target the DNC because they wanted to defeat Hillary Clinton. And Reince Priebus says, in no uncertain terms, the RNC was not hacked. He said, when these reports came out, when the DNC started being hacked, when Podesta's emails, I think Podesta's were WikiLeaks, when the DNC was reportedly hacked, The FBI came to the RNC offices and did an exhaustive search and found that they had not, there was no hacking. So the whole premise of the New York Times article and the Washington Post article was just not true. And so one of the things that Reince says to Chuck, and I'm going to read it to you, because remember we've been talking every day almost about this made up, it's a legitimate concept. It's now, though, a tool and a term used by the left to discredit any news that they don't agree with, any news that they can't control. They are the kings of fake news. They are the kings and queens of fake news. They know how to make up stories. They know how to misrepresent the facts. So now they are saying that all the stuff you read about Hillary Clinton, the foundation, all that's fake news. You know, my interview with Bernard Sandrique, the former Secretary of State of Haiti, I guess was a fake news story. How would he know what happened in Haiti? But it's fake news because it's not convenient to them. So just remember, fake news is a fake term about a fake situation. They are the kings and queens of fake news. So Reince says to Chuck Todd, who's getting hot under the collar as they talk, really angry with Reince. And Reince says, why would the press run with something that isn't true? What I'm asking you, Chuck, tell me what the specific source that you have other than the New York Times article. What source are you using to be so adamant to get a response from me? What's your source? Number one, you don't know it. I don't know it. And there has been no conclusive or specific report to say otherwise. The second thing I would tell you is that you don't have any proof that the outcome of the election was changed. Forget about who did the hacking if someone did the hacking. Reince did a really great job, I thought. He really did. I thought he did an excellent job. On behalf of all of us who are fighting this fake news business, he did a great job at that. And I want to give you another exchange. This was in Laura Ingraham's outlet Politizet, and this is what she recounts. An astonishing exchange between CNN's media analyst Brian Stelter and journalists Liz Wall and Julia Ioffe that occurred on Sunday. In that one conversation, Wall insisted Trump's win undermined, quote, our democracy, end quote. Ioffe expressed bewilderment at the fact that the people no longer take the mainstream media's word as sacrosanct. And Stelter implied that Trump's impending presidency is a national emergency. Oh, so here's the quote from Wall. That is the ultimate goal of Russian disinformation, to undermine democracy, to undermine faith in our institutions, like the media. We have a president-elect now who has basically matched some of these key talking points in Russian propaganda to undermine our system. And so Stelter responds, let go there. Let's go there directly. I mean, here's something I've been asking myself, Julia. We're talking about a candidate who's lost in a historic way in terms of the popular vote, but clearly won in the Electoral College. Is this something of a national emergency? And are journalists afraid to say so because they're going to sound partisan? No, could I answer that question? No, they're not afraid to say so because they're not afraid to appear partisan because they are partisan. Anyway, I go back to this. Ioffe said, I feel like we've been reporting on this all along, but people don't read us. We're writing about it, but people aren't listening and they don't believe us. I know the intent of this article is not to make me laugh, but it just makes me laugh. So people don't believe the news that they're reading. I'm wondering if this thing about Russia is getting any traction. I'm wondering if the fake news is getting any traction. In fact, I should open the phone lines and ask you, because now you're talking to people and the election has settled down a little bit. Are people embracing this notion of that it's fake news that caused the election to go to Trump? It's Russia hacking the election that caused it to go to him, that this is a national emergency. The electors need to reconsider. Are people embracing this? Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. We have not talked in a while, so let's talk. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek.
People almost invariably arrive at their beliefs not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive. And a lot of people find it attractive that Christianity might be false. And so they tend not to either investigate it, or they dismiss it, or they vociferously object to it because a creator interferes with what they want to do.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek, Saturday mornings at 9 Central and Sunday afternoons at 4 Central on AFR Talk.
You experienced a call to ministry later in life, and now you're in a second career. You like to call it your calling. You know you need more preparation, but how? Where? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, where an online Master of Divinity degree can be tailor-made for you. Small class size, individual attention, learning opportunities that fit your busy schedule. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where we equip the called. WBS.edu.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Merry Christmas, one and all. It's coming up. Can you believe it? December the 13th. I can hardly believe it. I really can hardly believe it. Got your Christmas gifts bought and your cards out. And are you in the spirit of worship? You're thinking about the birth of Jesus? I have to confess to you, I haven't been. I've been so busy that my heart has been a little cold. And I think that story of Rob Sherman, just what happened to him over the weekend, really brought home a lot of things that I've been too busy to think about. And may God forgive us for our busyness that snuffs him out. He doesn't go anywhere, but we go somewhere in our minds and hearts. And if we can avoid that, we need to do that, because who wants to live anything, even 30 seconds apart from the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives? I don't, personally. So let me just a couple of things before we go to the phone lines. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Yesterday, my husband went to the grocery store for us, and I actually put a list to him in a text, because he's so sweet, you see. And we needed cereal. And so then that reminded me, and it reminded him, we are not buying Kellogg's. We are not buying Kellogg's. Anything of Kellogg's. And remember, that's because they have blacklisted Breitbart. They are not advertising on Breitbart anymore. Breitbart is a powerful news outlet And now, you know, with the taint, you know, that they've tried, the fake news outlets have tried to paint over Breitbart as some sort of an anti-Semitic website of white nationalism, which is absolutely ridiculous. As I think I've said before, the CEO is Jewish. Andrew Breitbart, the founder, was Jewish. Joel Pollack, who does the West Coast coverage, is Jewish. He's Orthodox Jew. He wears the cap. So please, you know. So we're having a wonderful homegrown brand of cereal now, and I want to encourage you to do that. And I want to remind you that AFA is continuing to boycott Target. Remember, because they're allowing men in women to come into dressing rooms and bathroom facilities without any kind of restriction. And it has been a problem. It has been a serious problem. It's all about accommodating the supposed transgender rights. And so we're continuing to boycott. 1.5 million people have joined us on this, and I want to remind you that you might want to continue to do that. We also have come out with our naughty and nice list. That's a list of retailers who embrace Christmas or are enemies, who just refuse to embrace Christmas. And that list is on AFA.net, AFA.net. Okay, now to the phones, because I want to know what you have to say. Let's go to North Carolina. By the way, phone number is 888-589-8840. If you just tuned in, we've been talking about fake news. I've been talking about it just about, well, this is only Tuesday, so I guess I must have started talking about it last week. It seems like all week, but this is only the second day. Let's go to Patrick in North Carolina. Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, Sandy. You know, I think a lot of the fake news thing that's going on right now is just another narrative that the liberal media is trying to push. It's just a long line of things they're trying to make stick. You know, they went with the Russian hacking scandal. They went with, Donald Trump's a racist. It's all America's white, you know, bigoted racist people. And I think deep down that they're so flabbergasted by what has happened that they don't know what to do. So they're just reaching for whatever they can make stick. And I think realistically, what we're going to see is it's going to peter out just like everything else, and they're going to look for something else to go after.
But Pat, I guess I agree with you completely, but do you think it's resonating with people? When you talk to or you have these discussions that you, so you would know, neighbors, friends, how is it resonating?
You know, and here's the thing behind that. I'm in the military, so I think that I'm a little bit skewed on that side. But as far as what goes around work is, people aren't buying a fake news narrative. We all read the news pretty regularly, and I would say that overall people are just going, hey, you know, he won, this is over. You guys are just, you look like sore losers now. And I think that that's the big thing that's coming out here is like, God, just let it go. You know, we work with a diverse group of people here in my job. Not everybody's going to agree all the time. But again, realistically, if you win, you win, and if you lose, you lose. And don't be a sore loser. Just, you know, get back up, dust yourself off, and get back in the fight a different way. This just seems like nonsense after a while.
I agree with you. I'm glad to hear you say, Patrick, are you in the Marines?
No, I'm in the Army.
Okay, well, we love you anyway. Fort Bragg, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not a brag. Thank you.
Okay, well, listen, great. Thanks for your service. Tomorrow I'm probably going to talk a little bit about some things that are happening in the service. You know that that's a big deal to me personally and on your behalf. So stay tuned. Patrick, thanks a lot. All right. And Merry Christmas. Patrick in Louisiana. Patsy in Louisiana. Good morning, Patsy.
Good morning. It's been a long time, but I do have to tell you real quickly, my world got turned upside down September the 17th, and I really and truly almost lost my mind because I did not get to listen to you not one time in 6 weeks.
What? So what happened?
I was in seriously bad condition. I mean, I really did. It was just horrible. I'm surprised that I lived through that 6 weeks, that I was not able to listen to you. But I've been getting more to the point where now I've been listening again. Thank God for you. Stand strong, stay strong. But yes, I was just channel surfing for a bit the other day because so much is going on for me personally with my job and my health and a death in the family and stuff. But I was watching and I'm thinking, what is all this stuff they're talking about? We, the people of the United States of America, elected Donald Trump fair and square. And Obama and Hillary said, we're going to work diligently to help make a smooth transition, which we all knew was a lie from the get-go. They are doing everything they can to undermine him before he even takes office.
There's no question about that. Nah, no question about that, Patsy. Yeah, I know.
So,
but you think people at record? You think people are? I'm same question as I asked Patrick. Do you think people are recognizing that?
I think perhaps more and more since the election and the protests and stuff. People, you know, the more thoughtful thinking people in this country, like we the people, are beginning to realize. I think a lot of people didn't realize how really desperately bad the Democratic Party is and Hillary is and Obama is, but I think they're starting to realize and they're starting to say, this is just a joke that Russia helped get Trump elected. One quick thing I want to say, though, before I get cut off is, no, how come the media didn't talk about Obama sending his minions to Israel and sending them door to door with money to try to affect that election?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point, Patsy, and I actually haven't brought that up myself. Yeah, he sent David Axelrod. They tried to orchestrate the defeat of Bibi Netanyahu. I mean, that's pretty amazing, and that's a very good thing for you to remember, Patsy. Thank you for... And listen, I'm sorry you have been sick, and thank you for given us a good laugh this morning, and I guess maybe the reason you missed for a while might have been your illness and your loss and your family. So I'm really sorry about those two things, but I'm really glad to have you back, and I want to wish you the warmest Merry Christmas too. Thank you, Patsy. Let's go to Delaware. And Delaware? And Scott? Are you in Delaware, Scott?
Delaware, Ohio.
Oh. Okay. All right, I'm buying that. I'm biting that one. Okay, all right, Scott. So what's on your mind this morning?
Well, you know, you challenged us to read the book by Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals.
Yeah.
And the more I read it, the more I just watch it being worked everywhere, you know, from our left-wing bias media. And, you know, it's real simple. Just accuse your opponent of what you're going to do, and, you know, deflect it off of you onto them. And, you know, that's just exactly what they've done. And it's amazing to watch the process. The people would really believe something like what the New York Times headline was on November 29th, Muslim Holocaust possible in U.S. Now, I don't know if that's the direct headline, but it was along those lines. And really, that we would say or even believe something like that, we're going to start rounding up Muslims. To use the word Holocaust, I mean, shameless, despicable, unbelievable. And now, well, Hillary Clinton, nowhere to be seen because
she's out now. Well, you know what? I do think, Scott, the illustration you just gave is a good one. I think they have gone so far over the line that's part of the reason why people are saying, are you kidding me? We really are getting to that are you kidding me point. And so and the thing we have to do, though, is fight so that they do not destroy and undermine the new sources that we do have. That's the real danger here. Because like as I talked about that, Kellogg's, you know, boycotting Breitbart and other companies are as well. And then, of course, the SPLC coming after the American Family Association and FRC and all these other organizations and accusing us of, as you said, the Alinsky method of doing what they do, which is lying. But now now these big companies, Facebook and Google, all these others are now cooperating with this international effort to control the news flow. And if we lose, you know, our source of true information, we will be just exactly where the Russian people were during the Cold War, where they didn't know anything other than what the propaganda machine churned out. And that's what we don't want to happen. And even though we laugh about it, there's a real danger of that. So that's where we have to fight, as we always have. Scott in Delaware, thanks for calling this morning and Merry Christmas. All right, let's go to David in Tennessee. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I love your show. I listen. I have about a 45-minute drive every morning, and I listen to you on the AFR app while I'm getting my coffee, and I listen to you all the way to work. You're doing a great service for America.
Oh, that's sweet of you, David. Thank you.
I just wanted to say, you know, the fake news. If you watch one news broadcast, you could watch every other broadcast. It's like they all get their briefing from the same person. I don't know. They all report the same crazy stuff. But the left, this ploy that Donald Trump was helped by the Russians is ridiculous. Donald Trump won the election himself. I watched every one of his rallies in the final days there, and I also watched Hillary's rallies. And I watched them on Facebook Live, and I watched them on YouTube. On Facebook Live, you know, they have a little thing down there. You can hit a thumbs up, a heart, an angry face. When Hillary would be speaking, angry faces would be flowing across the screen, just thousands of them, thousands of them. When Donald Trump's rallies were going on, it would be hearts, thumbs up. Every once in a while, you'd get an angry face. But there was no doubt in my mind that there was no way Hillary could win.
But David, you are forgetting. Yes, ma'am. Russia is on Facebook. I'm sure all those little smiles and hearts were coming from Russian people on Facebook.
Vladimir was sitting there. Well, there was one broadcast when they would have the broadcast in the corner. Down in the corner, they would have Vladimir sitting there, and he would be clapping as Donald Trump was talking. And it was very funny. But
So, David, you think people are figuring this out? You have, but do you think other people are figuring this out?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are figuring this out. There's no doubt. But, you know, I'd also, I'm an accountant. I was looking at the election results. You know, they say Hillary won the popular vote. Well, if you go to Los Angeles County, she got 1 million votes more than Donald Trump in Los Angeles County, California. And the other counties around San Francisco, all of those, if you remove two counties in California, San Francisco and Los Angeles County, and throw them out as, you know, Hillary, very left. Donald Trump won by a landslide. And he did win by a landslide if you look at the electoral votes.
Yes, for sure.
The map.
Yeah,
the
David.
Map by county.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, David. They're a very good observation. And, of course, that's why the Electoral College, so that we don't have these major city-populated areas deciding every single election and every decision has to be made. We had that discussion, I think, last week, and we talked a little bit about, you know, why don't states do this? Because cities of Chicago control Illinois. New York City controls the state of New York because they don't have an electoral process. They have a population straight democracy process. You know, the founding fathers did not want true democracy. They wanted Republican democracy, representative government, for this very reason. So that's why the Electoral College, by the way, they meet this coming Monday. So it'll be interesting to see if the fake news of, you know, the mainstream media can sway this thing. I don't think so. But you know what? You never know. And they're throwing everything at the wall, hoping something will stick. Hey, listen, thanks to all of you for listening this morning. Sandy Rios in the morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.